Daniel chapter 1 in the Bible. You can listen along if you don't have your Bible or if you just like listening. Or you can turn there if you'd like. Daniel chapter 1. In this message on making decisions, I'll be going to a lot of scriptures at the start, then illustrating the truth in many different ways. Daniel chapter 1, talking about decisions. And this message is decisions, making decisions that stick. Or a purpose decision, making decisions to stick, or a purpose decision. Last week I talked to you about the Lord puts you sometimes, the Lord demands a decision sometimes. The Lord puts you in a situation where you have to decide. And you got to choose. People in the Bible had that many times. And Moses was not planning on the burning bush, for example. Many people came to Jesus and said, I'd like to follow you. And he says, good, make a decision. Don't go bury your dead. Don't go say goodbye to your family. Don't do any of that. I want you to make a decision if you're going to follow me. And so he demanded a decision and made them choose. Because if you do not make a decision, it usually makes you feel good because you didn't disobey directly, but you don't have to make any kind of commitment. And so not making a decision is oftentimes what we do. No Christian says, I'm not going to serve Jesus. They just do it by not focusing on doing it, and they just kind of don't do it. So they don't say, I'm not going to serve Jesus, I'm going to disobey him. They just don't think about whether they're going to do it or not. And they say, I'll probably do that someday. And then they don't do it, and actually they disobey because they don't make a decision. So God comes along and says, I'm going to make you make a decision. I'm pushing. You're comfortable on your chunk of ice, and you've got fire in an igloo, and all of a sudden God breaks off your chunk of ice, and it starts floating away, and he says, leave your igloo and get on the mainland or float away, and your igloo is going to disappear, on your little chunk of ice is going to disappear. And you got to kind of choose. Do I want this temporary life, or do I want to live for eternity? Or do I want to serve Jesus with my life, or do I want to do what I want to do? And so instead of saying, and so God pushes those decisions, and he brings those decisions, and we showed many illustrations of that in the Bible, how occasionally in life, the Lord makes you decide. And now, we said in America, we don't have to make the decision oftentimes. If you live in a dangerous country that persecutes Christians, you have to decide. I've had many missionaries, since I've been in the field, they've told me, when they get saved here, they get saved because they know it's going to cost them. If they're going to follow Christ, if they're going to bother, they're going to go full-fledged because they know if they do this, then what's going to happen is they're going to suffer greatly. If they do this, if they follow Christ, their family is going to ostracize them, or their family won't talk to them anymore, or they might go to jail. But we don't have those decisions. And I said, what would happen if America began to persecute us, and all of a sudden the government came in and said, if you decide to be a Christian and go to church and pray and read your Bible and say you're a Christian, we're going to take everything you own. Most Christians at that point would actually become better Christians. Because they'd really have to decide to follow Jesus. And they'd pay a price. And you would be happier. You'd lose everything, but you'd be happier because you made a real decision for Christ. And so God does that. And I want to talk about a deeper decision today and how to make decisions that stick. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 3. And the king spake, and by the way, because we don't have that in America, because it's easy to say I'm a Christian, because it's easy, you've got to learn how to make decisions because the decisions don't get made by you. Your family's probably going to talk to you again. Your government's probably not going to take everything you own. You're probably not going to get thrown in jail for being a Christian. So you got to learn how to make decisions that are solid decisions that you're going to stick with because the piece of ice isn't floating away. So you got to choose to make a decision. And because people don't know how to make those decisions, they don't make profound decisions in their life and don't stick with them and never become great Christians because they don't have to. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seeds and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish and well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding in science and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. So basically Daniel and his friends, what they did is, They were conquering the world, Babylon was. And what they did is the king said, it sounds like some kind of alarm, but I don't know what it is. So the king, it's going to be one of those days. But You just have to ignore it, I guess. I don't know why it's going off. You know what, Brian? Come here for a second. Yeah, it's on my phone. Go back there and call him and tell him that something's going off. So, if you go outside to see flames coming from the other side of the building, come back and tell me. So, we'll make a decision at that point. But so they basically what happened is Nebuchadnezzar, they were conquering the world as a nation. This is, by the way, I will be able to ignore this. I hope you can. I can ignore anything. I grew up preaching in nursing homes, so I can handle anything. But they were conquering the world, and they decided that they wanted to get a bunch of sharp people to come and stand before Nebuchadnezzar the king. So the nations they'd come into, they'd say, find the sharpest, the most intelligent, the ones who can learn languages, the ones who have some kind of knowledge in science, or no, they're like psychics or something. And he just said, bring them all to me, and I'll ask them questions, and they'll give me knowledge, and everything will be great. And so Daniel and his friends were Jews that got conquered, and they were brought in because they're very sharp and very smart. You had to be very smart and clever and good-looking, literally, all those things. You had to have those. So they brought them before him, and that's what happened. And verse 4, children whom there is no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding in science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the king's wine, which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names and gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. And these are terrible names because they mean Belteshazzar, Baal, worshiper of false gods and different things. They give them other names. And to Hananiah, and to Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now the king had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So we will tell this story a little bit. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. And Father, I pray you'd help us now to understand what you have for us today. And I pray this subject of decisions would be thought through. I pray it'd be powerful, Lord. I pray there'd be a difference. I pray you'd do a great work in these things, Lord. And I pray that we would really understand what it means to make a serious decision, that we wouldn't be flaky people who say they're going to do something for you and don't do it, and people who serve you for a little while then go back. I pray to be people of serious decisions, and you'd do great works in our hearts and our minds that we can change the way we think, and the way we commit to things, Father. Please give us wisdom. May your Spirit lead and guide us into all truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Daniel is at this point, and what happens is Daniel basically comes along and they say, okay, Daniel, you've got to eat this meat and drink this wine, because what's going to happen is going to make you fat and healthy looking for the king Nebuchadnezzar, and it's, we all eat the very best of the food. But the Jews, of course, had a very strict diet. They were Jews. They couldn't eat, for example, they couldn't eat things like ham. They couldn't eat anything from a pig. There was a very strict restriction, and Daniel said, wait a minute, I can't do that. I cannot go and eat that food, and I can't drink the wine, and I can't do these different things. I'm not sure, I can't do this. And so Daniel, he did something very important here. It says he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He purposed it in his heart. He made a very serious, a very profound decision, a very strong decision. Hallelujah, stopped. And he made a very, very strong and serious decision about this thing. And he made that. And when he made that decision, he might be losing his life. But the way it phrased that decision is, he purposed in his heart that he would not do it. He said, I am absolutely, positively not going to eat this and drink this. Let me read you a few verses that are like this, where the Bible phrases these purposed decisions. Our memory verse. Remind me after the service, I got to ask you who did the memory verse. Who, when they came and seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them with purpose of heart, they would cleave to the Lord. That's our memory verse this week. Psalms chapter 17 and verse 3. And again, I'm just going to read you several verses where you see these decisions that are solid, serious heart decisions. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Psalms 119 and verse 106. It says, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22, he said, I fight not as one that beateth the air, but I run that I will obtain. And you should run that you should have obtained. I am going to obtain. I have suffered the loss of all things in Philippians 3, that I may win Christ. I am pressing toward the mark. I am going to do this. I'm not just shadow boxing here. I'm going to obtain. I'm making a decision that I'm going to do this thing. And it's those solid decisions that are so strong. Not making a decision that is purposed costs you. You will miss out. You will not become what you could be. You will not do what God wants you to do because you didn't decide something. You did not make a purpose decision. And people don't make purpose decisions now even when they're saying they're making one. For example, I do. You take this woman to be your wedded wife. Do you have it whole from this day forward and better for worse sickness and health and forsaking all of us, keep the only unto her till death do you part? I do. And then you ask her. And then all of a sudden, they're getting divorced. And you say, didn't you say till death do us part? Well, I didn't know. Too late. You made a vow to God. And you said, I'm making this commitment. And even when they know that it's a serious decision, when they know it's a major decision now, people don't stick with their decisions. They're not like Tom Williams we just had here, who took care of an invalid wife for 28 years. I mean, because they don't understand. When you make a decision, you make a decision that sticks with it. And you miss out, on the blessing because you don't do that. The Eskimo who stays on the chunk of ice with his igloo and fire that he's very comfortable with and won't jump off it, he is going to die. Because he cannot choose to leave that which doesn't matter. And if you as a Christian decide, I am not willing to make any sacrifice. Listen, the people who Jesus said, if you're not willing to forsake all and follow me, don't follow me. Right now, those who said, okay, I'll follow you and forsook all are very glad they did. And those who went and didn't forsake all and follow him are very sad they didn't. Because they would not jump on to a decision that costs anything and they're willing to make the decision. This is why a good decision counts the cost of something before they make that decision. Most of you need to consider, am I willing to pay any price? Some of the hardest and most brutal passage in the entire Bible is in Luke 14. I'll read it to you because Jesus says something so harsh here that it offends many people. Because the decision is so serious that he makes it sound mean. In Luke 14:26, if a man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, you just realize Jesus said, if you don't hate your mother and father, and children. He didn't say your mother-in-law. That's easy. He said, if you don't hate your wife, your husband, and father. Wow. That's the same Savior who tells husbands, love your wives. And love each other. And give your life for your friend. And love other people with everything you have. He's the one who taught us what love was. But he says, if man come to me and hate not his father, mother, sister, children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and is not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down at first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 men to meet him that cometh against him? He says, you've got to be willing to count the cost. He is not teaching you to hate your family. He teaches you to love your family. But he's saying, compared to the love you have for your family, you better love me in such a way that it looks like hate. Because you may lose your family serving me. Come on now. I've met Christians whose families had a burial service for their family member became a Christian. He said, you're dead. We're having a funeral for you, and you're never going to see us again. Don't ever talk to us again. You're dead to us. And they had to love Jesus more than their own family. Now, fortunately, you and I don't, America is incredibly tolerant. We don't have to make that decision most of the time. Now, your family will make fun of you. My family made fun of me. But when you become a real Christian, it might cost you a great deal. And so when you make a decision, you better say, I am making this decision come what may. I've got to make a serious decision here. One of the greatest compliments I ever had in my life, maybe it wouldn't seem like a big compliment to other people. Maybe I don't get enough compliments. Was when I was in Haiti, and I I'll read you the email. As I was getting ready to go to Haiti, I was emailing back and forth with Brother Juanito, and I really have to make a lot of preparation when I'm going to the foreign field that, hey, work me while you're there. I want to go. I want to work. I want to preach. I want to run. Just send me out. Don't worry about my health. Don't worry about my anything. Just let me go. I don't got much time. I want to hit it hard. I want to go for it. And they usually think you want to go looking. Most mission trips are tourist things. And I'm not a tourist guy, and I want to go preach, and I want to go win souls, and I want to go help people and go to the jail and go to everywhere. I want to do that stuff. And so I got to convince the missionary, hey, I'm telling you, I want to go. Don't take me to see the Big Ben. I want to go do things. And so when I went to Haiti, somebody told me, first of all, that there was a big problem with kidnappings there, and that I need to check that out. So I wrote, and I said, I heard there are many kidnappings in St. Michelle, and that somebody wasn't going to go, and they thought that I needed to check that out and I shouldn't go. As long as I have you or somebody with you from the church to translate for me and help me get around, I'm fine. I want you to know that I know the Lord wants me here, and I know He can take care of me. This is my email to Him. I am not scared at all, and I want to go anywhere I can help. I have been to many dangerous places, and the Lord is able to take care of His servants. I think I will need to meet your graduate near St. Michelle to be there for one service on Sunday and show me around the area there. Outside of that, I am very open to any schedule that would be a blessing to you or your graduates and pastor friends. If you have anybody starting a church while I'm there, I'd like to help them have a big day by paying for them to do something special. If not, I would like to help you have a big day while I'm there, and you may... And you can try to have many people saved. This is up to you. It is whatever you want. I want to be a blessing. Also, I'm very healthy and not picky. I've been to several countries and I travel well. If I stay in a hotel or a house, I am happy and I would love to eat with the Haitian people. I can be very busy and I'll have a great time. I may only be in Haiti one time and want to make it count. So, he did that. He ran me ragged. And then he sent me out to the boonies. And he told me, it's primitive out there. I said, you ever been there? He says, no, I don't ever want to go there. He said, it's rough out there. And then they got a bunch of, we're getting ready to go on this trip to the boonies, and we got about seven Haitians in there in the room with me. They're used to the conditions. They're used to the 250 degrees or whatever it was. They're used to the food. They're used to the conditions. They were used to everything that I wasn't used to. And one of them asked me, he said, now, he asked me, how you doing? Are you having a hard time here? Now, I had lost 12 pounds in 4 days from something in my stomach. And it was something bad. I mean, it wasn't like I had a little upset stomach. And it was something. My doctor thinks I had cholera. Okay? I was very sick. They didn't know I was sick. I never said a word. And I said, I'm ready for it, man. I'm having a great time. And I was having a great time. And one of them said, this guy never complains about anything. He is always happy. Now, the Haitians said that about me. I was one of the greatest compliments I ever got. You know why they said that? Because I decided before I got there, I was not going to complain once while I was there. Was I miserable at times? Was I sick? Was I overheated? Well, the group from Georgia was overheated. I'm from Seattle. Okay? I mean, it was brutal, and it was bad conditions. It was hot, it was bad, it was dangerous, it was everything. But you know what? I decided no one's going to see me complain, no one's going to know I was sick. Now, I want to say this. You're looking at a guy who can whine with the best of them. I can gripe, I can whine, I can be a... I mean, how many of you can whine and gripe when you're... There's times you say, I'm being such a wimp. I can whine and gripe. But you know why I didn't in that situation? I preached to my wife's not here because she'd say, you not whine? But you know why? Because I decided I was not going to gripe or whine the whole time. And it didn't matter what happened while I was there. I was not going to. Where'd your arm go? Oh, I don't know. Just fell somewhere. I was not because I decided not to. If I wouldn't have decided, they would have known I was sick. And I could have whined and griped, and I can be a wimp, and I can whine and gripe sometimes. But you know what? I made a serious decision, and I do know how to make a decision and stick with it. And I left, and they never knew I was really very sick. They never really knew. I had to tell them a little bit because they said, why aren't you eating very much? And I said, my stomach's kind of upset. You got a banana? And they said, oh, you're okay. I'm fine. I probably shouldn't eat all this. But you know, it was because I decided to do it. And when I do something profound, it's usually because I decide to do something profound, not because I just, I tried, it happened. I don't get anything done that way. I don't get anything done that way when I don't decide. You know how many projects around my house I'm going to get to someday? Do you know how many things I need to get to? But until I decide to do it, I don't get anything done. When I was a young Christian, I made a decision. I made a decision. The Bible was that important. And I said, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to read at least 3 chapters. That was 25 years ago. I decided I'll read it now. I wasn't very wise about that decision, but I decided I am going to read at least 3 chapters of the Bible every single day of my life. And I did it. I wasn't very smart about how to do it. I didn't know how to schedule my time very well or anything. I usually read it at nighttime in bed. Not a good place to read your Bible. It gets pretty tough in Leviticus sometimes when you're reading in bed and you're tired. And honestly, I'd lay in bed and I'd wake up one, oh. And the Bible would fall my face and I'd wake back up and I would start reading again until I got 3 chapters done. And I did that. You know what? I've done that for 25 years. And I still read my Bible. I never miss a day reading my Bible, ever. Why? Because I decided to. But you know, most Christians try to read the Bible. And you know, most Christians, did you know if you ask me, of all the Christians I've ever known, what percentage read your Bible every day? Outside of you, because you've been trained to do it and how to do it, outside of Open Door, I would say every single day, 5% read the Bible every day. All of them want to and intend to and plan to. But you know what? I made a decision to. There's a big difference in me saying, you know what? I might go down to Oregon this week. Or deciding and making the plans and doing it. And when you decide to do something, you'll have Thanksgiving because you'll decide to have Thanksgiving. It's something you decide to do. What you decide to do is what you actually accomplish in life. And if you don't decide to do anything, your life goes whoosh. And you say, what happened to my life? I was going to do a lot more with life than this. You didn't decide very much. You just intended. You don't get much done by intending. And one of the ways I find out if someone is really worth investing and really worth fixing their life is I find out if they're really deciding to do this. And they'll say, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to quit doing drugs. I'll say, that's an awesome decision. That's great. I said, who are we going to call first? What's your drug dealer's number? You're going to quit drinking. All right, that's awesome. Where's your alcohol? It's in my fridge. Why? Because I'm pouring it down your toilet. No. See, they haven't decided. They want to. They're going to try. Trying doesn't get you anywhere. The first obstacle, you don't get to it. Daniel purposed in his heart and said, I will not eat the king's meat. Period. Now, he said, let's figure if I can find a way not to die. But I'm not going to eat the king's meat if I die. It doesn't matter because I've decided I will not eat the king's meat. So I decided to read 3 chapters of the Bible a day, and I did that, and you know what? I'm probably here today because I kept feeding myself in the Word of God every day of my life. I didn't have my parents to tell me to read my Bible. They weren't Christians. I didn't have anybody checking up on me. I decided to do it, and because I made a choice to do it. You know what? If you decided to pray, you'd have a prayer life. Amen. If you decided to spend time in your Bible every day, you'd do it. Mm-hmm. And the key is you just find the right motivation. I would say to you, you know what? Can you read your Bible every day this year? You'd say, no. I said, if at the end of the year, on December 31st, I give you $1 million if you read your Bible every day this year, would you do it? Oh, I can do it, yeah. Of course, I got time. Yeah, I got plenty of time. People say, are you going to come back to church tonight for Sunday night service? And they say, you know what, I'll try. I said, if I was giving you $1,000, if you made it, would you make it? Because before they said, you know, I'm kind of busy tonight. You know, I got some things to do this afternoon. If you got $1,000, would you make it? Oh, yeah. I don't have a full church. Why? Because one, you're going to try, and one, you make a decision. It's the only difference. I happen to love Jesus enough to do that. I don't need $1 million. If you give me $1,000 tonight, I'll double bonus. But you know what? You got to make a choice. What's important? Jesus said, hey, you want to follow me? Let's see if you've made a decision to do it. Don't go bury your dead. Come on, right now. Right now. Let's go. Decide. Decide. Once you make a purpose decision, and this is very important to understand this whole message. Once you make a purpose decision, the Lord knows how to bless you. If I say, I'm going to try to get to that door there, and God wants me to get to that door, and you know what? I'd really like to get to that door. Hey, James, how you doing? I got distracted. Oh, yeah, the door. And the whole way I'll say, Lord, I need you to help me get to that door. And boy, I got to get to that door somehow. And Lord, if it's your will, help me kind of make it to the door. Man, this piano's in my way. I guess can't make it to the door. And I don't get there. Because I do not decide I'm going to get to the door. But once I decide to get to the door, I'm going to that door. I might not know how I'm going to get past the piano. I might not know how I'm not going to get distracted with my friend. I might not know how I'm going to get around the pulpit, but I'm going to get to the door. Amen. Then God says, you know what? They made a profound decision to follow me. I have got to bless them because they are going to follow my will. And instead of, God, you got to help me, and if I doesn't make it. People who don't decide things don't get many prayers answered, don't get many miracles, because God is not obligated to help them because they haven't decided anything. Jesus, if you would, go ahead, let me bury my dead, and you'd give me a bunch of money and make everything comfortable when I travel with you, I'd probably go with you. He said, you're not deciding anything. Daniel, an amazing thing happened. Daniel went to the guy at the top, and he said, I can't eat this stuff, guy. He says, I cannot eat it. I want you to do something. I want you to give me some other food and see how it turns out. He says, I'm not going to get my head cut off for you, Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar is nasty and mean, and I'm not going to get my head cut off for you. Forget it. So he went to the next guy down and said, hey, I'm not going to eat the king's meat. And I don't want, can you give me a try at least with eating some pulse? It's probably crushed vegetables. And say, I just want this, let us try pulse and water. Forget the wine. He was trying to fatten him up. They wanted to look fat and happy and healthy. And he says, give me some of this stuff for 10 days. And if it doesn't happen, then forget about it. And he says, you know what, Daniel? I like you. I'll tell you what. I will let you eat that. It's not going to make you fatter than the meat and the potatoes and the wine, drinking water and a little bit of vegetables. But you know what? I like you, so I'll let you try it. Daniel is not going to eat the king's meat in either case, but he's trying to find a way around it. He's already decided what he's going to do. But he's hoping that somehow a miracle will happen where he doesn't have to die. He doesn't want to die, but he's going to die if he doesn't do it. Then he goes and says, God, I've got this to eat and this to eat. Lord, bless this food. Fill it with calories and cholesterol and vitamins and everything else because I need to look fat and happy when I get in front of the guy in 10 days. 10 days, Lord, that's all this trial is. But he's not going to defile himself with the king's meat. Along he comes 10 days later. Let me go back to Daniel. We go back to this story. Daniel's purpose in his heart, he will not defile himself. It does not mean he just says, then kill me. No, he's trying to find another way around it. And then, he's not foolish, he doesn't want to just die, but he's trying to find another way around it, but it hasn't changed his decision. So, verse 14 of Daniel 1. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his three friends. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appears fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which should eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar, this guy who was over them, took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. And for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding and visions and dreams. And at the end of the days that the king had said that he should bring them in, then the prince, the eunuchs, brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among all was not none found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. Watch this. Everybody else has been having the best situation and the best food and the best everything. But these ones are the best because God's blessing was on them. Watch this. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Daniel became the number two man in the nation eventually.
Why?
Because listen to me for a sec. When you make a decision, God knows how to bless you. And he's got to take care of you and help you get where you decided to go. You say, I got to have a prayer life, God, and I seem too busy to have a prayer life. When you make a decision for Christ, you making that purpose decision makes God say, I'm going to bless your schedule. And all of a sudden, you get a job where you're working 35 hours a week, and you'll find yourself making more money than when you were working 40 and too tired. Because God's going to find a way to bless you because you purpose a decision. You weren't iffy. You weren't, God's saying, what do I do with him? I don't know if she's going to stick with that decision or not. Okay, this is the 16th time she's going to move out with that bad guy. It's the 27th time he's going to quit smoking. It's the 37th time she's going to quit doing drugs. At this time, the angels, they go again, they're going to start going to church. But they haven't scheduled it and decided, I am going to church. You can make church every Sunday if you wanted to. You got to decide to. You say, Pastor, I have things to do. Really? No. Everybody in this room has things to do. I'd rather be watching football sometimes. I'd rather be sleeping in. I was tired this morning. I didn't get to bed till late last night. And you've always, and many of you right now, you didn't feel like coming to church this morning, but you decided you go to church. And then your relatives call and say, hey, can we go do something? You say, awesome, yeah, I get back from church about 1:30. Why? Because you decided to go to church. You know, if you decide to fix things in your life, they would get fixed easier than you think because God would begin to bless. I'm deciding to stay married. God would say, wow, I'm going to intervene in this thing then. I am deciding I'm going to live purely, but I'm so weak. Okay, but listen to me. You say, I am going to do this. Daniel did not know how he was going to do it. You understand that? When I decided to read a Bible every single day, I did not know how I would do it. I didn't have any character. I was lazy. I did not know I was going to go to college and be taking 18 college credit hours and working 40 hours a week and doing 30 hours of ministry. I did not know how to read a Bible in that much time. I don't know how to do it. But once you decide to do something, you will find a way to do it, and God will help you. That's right. But it's the matter of you deciding that changes everything, because you know what? You can do what you want to do, can't you? When you really want to do something, you can do it. If you say, I am going to do this, you'll get it done. You know what? If you said, Pastor, can you climb Mount Rainier? I'd say, no way. The shape I'm in, you got an elevator? But wait a minute. Can I tell you this? I guarantee you if I decided to climb Mount Rainier, I'd do it. I'd do it. I'd have to shed a few pounds. I'd have to get a helicopter. But you know, not because... You know why? But if you said you should climb Mount Rainier, I said, you know what? I'd have probably climbed Mount Rainier. I ain't climbing Mount Rainier. But if I decided to do it, I could do it. Listen, blind people have climbed Mount Everest. People with no legs have climbed Mount Everest. Because they decided to. Whatever you decide to do, you can really do. It's the problem is you say, and let's take it to something not spiritual. You say, I'm going to go to college. I should go to college. You know what? I really do need to get back in college. I'm going to do that someday. You haven't decided anything, have you? You know how long you'll stay in misery without a decision? I really ought to get out of this dump. And you're still there. 4 years later. Because you didn't decide to. I really ought to go get this relationship fixed. Intentions don't get anything done. And I'm not saying everything is a big decision. Everything isn't. You don't say, I'm going to McDonald's today. Okay. Some of you do that with Old Country Buffet or something, but you don't say that. I'm going to go to McDonald's. You say, I'm going to go to McDonald's, and then you can't go to McDonald's, the road's blocked off. Okay, go to Burger King. Go to Carl's Jr. and get me one of those Western bacon burgers. Good night. Those things are good. And get me one of those things. But you say, that's not a big decision. It's not that important. But you know what? There are some things that you need to decide to do. You need to decide to read your Bible every day. You need to decide you're going to serve God with your life. And listen, real important here. I make very few decisions in my life anymore. Almost every decision in my life was decided between 16 and 17. I'm just living those decisions now. Because I made very big, profound decisions, about six decisions in my life when I was 16 and 17 years old, and everything I'm doing now is all a result of that. Who I married, how I raised my kids, where I do, what I do. When I was 17, I decided to come to Seattle as a pastor. God called me and I said yes. I never wavered from that because I decided my life was God's a long time ago. And by the way, if God calls me to Timbuktu tomorrow, guess where I'm going? I will not decide whether I'm going to Timbuktu. My big decision of my life as God's already took care of that. So I will figure out how am I going to get to Timbuktu. It's not, I do not on my decision say, I can't do this because it's too hard. The question is, how am I going to do this, not whether I can do this. See the difference? If there's a whether you can do this, there will be something to stop you. If you are decided to do something, you say, how will I do this? If somebody breaks into my house tonight and decides to attack my family, I won't say, you know what? I wonder if I'm going to be able to defend my family tonight. I wonder how I'm going to, I wonder if I could do that. No, I'm killing them. And if I have to claw them, shoot them, knife them, it doesn't matter what I have to do. I'm going to defend my family. Amen. I'm not saying, I wonder if I can do this. Oh, it's kind of hard. I'm going back to bed. That's not, but that's why many people look at important. That's why people do church. You know, I like to go to church a lot. What's stopping you? Well, I'm kind of sleepy, and you don't see X-Plane this morning, and, you know, it's cold out there, Pastor. You know how cold it was? My window's not defrosted, and you haven't decided to go to church because you don't love, you haven't decided, Lord, my life sure is going to do whatever, and I'm going to do whatever you want. And so you make these profound decisions, and then when you do it, like our theme this year, I'm all in, you do those things. When you make that profound decision, God says, I'm going to bless you now. I'm going to make you better than everybody else, and you won't eat the stuff, and you'll still be above them. You're not going to go in there anorexic and weak and saying, and everybody's not going to say, what's wrong with you? You're going to be conquerors and the best of them all because God's hand is upon you because you decided to serve him and follow him, and he blessed you. Amen. And it was better. You say, I got to give up these friends, but I don't know what I'm going to do if I don't have these friends. I need them. You give up those friends. You decide to give up the wrong friends because God wants you to, and you watch, you'll get better friends and be better off. Because God will bless you because you made a decision. Decisions cost. I understand that. You will have to jump off your little piece of ice floating away, but now you've got everything. Amen. And God's going to bring along a polar bear, and God's going to bring along what you need to eat, and God's going to bring along a fish, and God's going to bring whatever you need, and God's going to help you kill them and take them and eat them because God's going to bless you because you made the decision to follow him. Amen. It is not that you're sacrificing. You never really sacrifice for God. He always pays you back 10 times, usually on this earth, if not for sure in heaven. Sometimes you really do sacrifice on earth. There's many Christians who will be in jail today. But they made a decision. Amen. They made a decision. And God blesses decision makers. You're all in. You're going to do it. God will give you more joy if you decide to serve him. A purpose decision isn't whether you will, but how you will. Daniel was not going to eat the meat, but he tried to find a way to still live. And God blessed it, and it worked out. A decision is not saying, I will try. You need to find the things in your life. You don't accidentally become a good parent. You don't intend to be a good parent. You decide to be a good parent. And there's a world of difference. I'm going to be there for my kids. I'm going to raise my kids. I'm going to spend time with my kids. I'm going to love my kids. I'm going to discipline my kids. All those things are decisions that are very hard to do. But when I had kids, I decided I'm going to raise kids that are right and good and godly. Not I'm going to try. I don't try to spend time with my family. I decide to spend time with my family. My time will evaporate, and I will not have time for my family. Many a pastor's ruined their family from that. I've got a lot to do in life. I've got a big vision. I've got a million things to do. If I don't decide to spend time with my family, I will not. Because decisions make you do what's important and make you put aside things that aren't important and say, I will do this thing. not, I'm going to try. Be blessed like Daniel by making a decision like Daniel. A purpose decision makes most of your small decisions for you. When I didn't decide if I was going to read my Bible, I just said I'm going to read my Bible, I can figure out when. When I decided God called me to Seattle, I'm going to come to Seattle, I don't have to decide that anymore. There's not a lot of decisions. Now it's just when. In other words, the big decisions in your life, I am going to, so you say, I'm going to quit lying. I wish I quit lying. Boy, some of these days I got to quit doing that. No, when you decide to quit lying, you say, okay, how am I going to do this? Then you seek counsel. Then you start memorizing the scriptures on it. Then you tell somebody, you know what, I've been lying to you, and I want you to ask me if I'm lying to you because I want to get this straight. You take the steps, and you find out the steps that tell you how to quit doing that thing. When you decide to do something, it makes you committed to it, and you find the way to do it. A purpose decision makes most of your decisions for you, and you don't have to decide every single time, am I going to drink? Am I going to do this time? Am I going to date this kind of person this time? You don't just have to decide that. You already decided. I only date godly Christian people. Well, should I date him or her? Well, how's your spiritual life? That'll make the decision for you. You don't have to just look at every single thing and try things the hard way and run your head into walls. You've got a big decision that makes all the decisions for you. My life's God's. Amen. So will you decide the decisions you need? And I don't know what your decision, do you need to decide to pray? When you decide to pray, you schedule a time. Because anything you don't schedule doesn't get done. I'm going to read a Bible through this year. We have a Bible reading chart back there. You got to decide to do it. I'm going to quit watching bad stuff on the internet. How are you going to do that? You make a decision to do it. In other words, everything you want to do in life, if you want to be a great Christian, you can be. You got to motivate yourself. Once you make the decision, you start figuring out how you're going to do what you decided to do, but you're going to do it no matter what happens. Do you follow the difference? And Daniel purpose in his heart, and look what happened. Someone else say, Daniel, you're dead. I would like to not eat the king's meat, but if I did that, I know Nebuchadnezzar's going to cut my head off because you got to eat that meat to get fat and happy. Daniel said, you might be right, but I've decided not to do it. Now, Lord, you got to help me in this because I don't want to have my head cut off. Maybe you can use me here. Hey, can I try something for 10 days? Remember, didn't change his decision. The obstacle came, and he didn't go. The guy said, no. Okay, I guess I will eat the king's meat. No, he decided. And he was blessed, and he was 10 times better. And can you imagine the other servants above him, Melzar and the other guy above him, all of a sudden the king says, let me talk to you about that Daniel, Mishael, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let me talk to you about those guys. And they're going, oh no. He says, man, those guys were the best looking, smartest people. What did you do different with them? I don't know. Can you believe that, Melzar? Those three are the only three that weren't like everybody else. Those are the three that decided they wouldn't eat the king's meat. And the king likes them best, 10 times better. They were blessed because they made a profound decision. Will you decide that your life is God and you'll follow him no matter what the price? Amen. We decide you're going to be the right kind of family. We decide you're going to stay married. When the divorce is not an option, then you find a way to work it out. Right. You just find a way. Will you decide that you're going to walk with God and pray and do, or are you just going to say, boy, I'd like to do that? You have the strength in you with God's help to do anything you decide to do. Yes. Anything you really decide to do, you know how determined you can be, and put God on your side and you can get it done. Decide great things. Don't make a million decisions like that. I'm deciding today that I'm going to... Don't do that about everything. But you make a few profound decisions that'll guide your life and stick with those and make real decisions. And you'll be able to do great things that you didn't think you could do. But you got to decide. You got to make a real decision. Let's pray. Father, I pray today we'd understand how profound a real decision is through Daniel's life. 10 times better eating pulse, beans or vegetables or whatever it was, and water. Lord, it wasn't much, and yet you made them better because they followed you with commitment. Jesus demanded a decision so often. Elijah said, said, if the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. And drew a line. Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, there's so many decisions that we need to make. But Lord, help us not to be light in decisions, but make a few serious decisions about what we'll do in our lives and stick with them. Though the hard times come, we're going to do this. Though there's things and obstacles in the way, we're going to do this. Lord, if I cannot gripe while I'm in the third world like that, Lord, there's a lot of easier things that I could do if I decided to. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to decide to do the things that matter. Lord, if there's someone who doesn't know you as Savior today, I pray they decide to be saved. Lord, help us to count the cost and understand that a decision may be hard and may have obstacles, but we're willing to pay the price because we were making a real decision, a decision that's purposed in our heart. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed.